Yes, Father, we thank you for who you are tonight, Lord. There's no one like you, Lord. Nothing compares to you, Father. Nothing comes close to you, Lord. And thank you, Father, that us as your children can come and gather in your house tonight. We know, Lord, that you love us, Lord. We know that you are for us, Lord. We know, Lord, that you are the one, Father, who leads us, who shows us where to go, Father. Thank you, Lord, that us as your children can come tonight and say, Father, you're the only one worthy of all our praise. You're the only one worthy of all our adoration. Father, we worship tonight, Father. We lift your name on high in this place, Father. To you belong all the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. You can take a seat. I must say, I am very surprised to see so many people in church tonight. I thought you'll be in Hermanus or, you know. I know there's some people that came back from Hermanus, especially for church, I believe. Which I am really, really proud of you. Okay, good. It's really cool to be in the house of the Lord tonight. It's really cool to have you all here. I see a new face, new faces. So welcome. It's a privilege to have you here in the house of the Lord. We really hope you enjoy it, even if it's a long weekend. We are going to Spur afterwards. It is in Newlands. That Spur Newlands. Don't ask me directions. Monica said you must ask me. We had the privilege this weekend to get two new people in our church. So two new babies was born that you saw on the screen. And I'm so excited about what God is doing in this church. Just celebrating life and what God has given us. Looking forward to see much more babies. Let me not get really distracted here. Tonight we're talking about holy ground. Okay, and this God, I believe God gave me the theme of this the sermon. And when I got that, I was like, yo, I don't know what that means. Okay, I don't know what holy ground is. I was like, I know where I can find it in the Bible. I know where it speaks about holy ground in the Bible. And that's where I turned first, and that's exactly what we're going to look at tonight. I don't know who of you knows the story of Moses in the Bible. Now, I also know the story of Moses. I grew up with it, that lovely Bible stories we had when we were children. But I realized the last few days, wow, I don't know Moses. I don't know why people don't call their children Moses. Because I really like Moses. I mean, we're getting Joshua's and Daniel's and all of that, Caleb, but Moses is quite a cool guy, okay? I've read about him quite a bit now the last few days. I don't know if I'll call my son Moses. Maybe not, but it's really a cool name. So Moses was this little boy born, everyone's born, and what happened to him is that Pharaoh said all the little kids must be killed, okay? So his mom decided, no ways, I'm going to hide my kid. She hid him, and then she made a little basket for him, put him on the river. He went on the river. Then Pharaoh's daughter actually saw this kid, not kid, this thing on the river, and took him into the palace, took care of him. He grew up in the palace. He was in the palace for 40 years. So he was in Pharaoh's house for 40 years. Then something happened and he killed an Israelite. And from there on, he went into the wilderness. So he ran away, okay, into the wilderness. And he was there again for another 40 years, okay? So if you wanted, I didn't say all the detail, otherwise we'll be here all night. So if you want to know the story, go read it. But now, Moses was in the wilderness, okay, for 40 years. Now you must think about this. Moses is 80 years old now already, okay? So I don't know who of you think that you can still do something at the age of 80, okay? But I want to tell you tonight that God can use you at any time, in any place of your life. Never ever think you're too old or your job is really not that good. I mean, looking after sheep and that's Moses was doing. It's not the most glamorous job you'll ever have. Okay, I hope there's no shepherds in this house. The Buddha, the farmers will be like, what do you mean? I make a lot of money with sheep. Anyways, I'm talking too much. So what we're going to look at tonight, Moses is in the wilderness, okay? And what happens to Moses? In Exodus 3, verse 1 to 5. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And we're going to look at that tonight. What does it mean, that holy ground? But when you look at the dictionary and the Hebrew, holy means to be set apart. Okay? So immediately that must like say something to you. And not only is it set apart, it says it's something common. When it becomes holy, it's for a special purpose. Sure. Okay? So this holy ground that we read about here is set apart for a special purpose. Okay? So you can keep that in mind. We're going to look at that a bit later. In Exodus 3 verse 1, it says, Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. So when we look at this place, so now nothing's happened yet. We just know that Moses is walking with his sheep, singing hopefully, you know, those kind of things. And now it says he was just looking over the sheep. He was in Horeb. I've got it right, ne? Horeb. You can all help me. My Afrikaans is sometimes too prominent. You can hear in my Afrikaans. Anyways, so if you look at the place where Moses was walking, it's ordinary. Okay, there is really nothing special about this place. In the first place, it's the wilderness. Okay, now Megan, you've been in Israel. You can tell us how the wilderness looked. It's not pretty. Okay, so there's a rocks and sand and dust, and it's brown. Okay, our Cape Townians really don't know what that looks like. We have the mountains, we have green, we don't know how it looks to be like really common. It's a common place. I think maybe a bit like the Karoo. Okay, so really just, I must watch my words tonight. I don't say in the Karoo is common, I love the Karoo. I actually grew up in the Karoo a bit, so I'm also common. So this place really, it's not any, there's no significance in this place where he's walking, okay? So actually this Mount Horeb actually means desolate place, forsaken by man, abandoned place, and there's no people, okay? So when you look at this place, it really, there's nothing significant about this place. It's unimportant. I mean, you just go there's no people there. It's just a few bushes here for the sheep to eat and stuff like that, okay? So it's not significant. What we find out later, actually, is that the same place, this mount, is Mount Sinai, and that's the mount where where Moses got the law, where he got the commandments, okay? But that's just thrown in there. So if we look at where Moses is going, we can see that there's nothing significant of this place. There's nothing significant about this mountain or this, I think it's more like a kopi for us from Cape Town. But it's really an unimportant, insignificant place that you won't think that this can be holy ground. Okay? So what will make this place holy ground? Why is it then called by God holy ground? And the first thing is, we'll see it in Exodus 3 verse 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. Okay? So the word that stands out there is the angel of the Lord. Okay? And if we look at the Hebrew, what is the angel of the Lord? Who is the angel of the Lord? In Hebrew, it says the messenger of Yahweh. Now, the messenger of Yahweh is God himself. It's Jesus. Okay? So here, in the midst of the bush, in this fire, it is Jesus. Okay, the pre-incarnated Jesus. So some of you might think, no, man, Jesus only came in the New Testament. Okay, he was actually only born in a manger, the whole story there, that's when Jesus came. No, but that's not what the Word tells us. Okay, it says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we're speaking here about Jesus. In the beginning, Jesus was there already. Okay, it's not like he only appeared. Yes, he only appeared as the Son of Man when he came to earth as a man. He was born, okay, of the Virgin Mary. But he was already, from the beginning, Jesus was there. So what happened here is that Jesus actually appeared to Moses. Okay? Jesus, let's look at John 14, verse 8 to 10. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. So what does Jesus do? He comes, he's a messenger of God. He gives us the truth of God. He is the revelation of God. He brings us the revelation of who God is. If we want to know how God looks, we need to look to Jesus. Okay? And Jesus came and he dwelt on the earth to show us the truth and the holiness of God. Okay? So I believe holy ground, firstly, is holy because Jesus is there.
Amen.
Okay? That's why the ground is holy. Nothing else. Not because you plant special grass or anything like that. Okay? It's because Jesus is there. That is what makes something holy. Okay, and I believe God is saying, I want my church to be holy ground. I want the church, the body of Christ, to be holy ground. Okay, so we're not only looking at the building here tonight, although this is also holy ground because Jesus is here. Okay, but we're looking at the bigger picture, at the church of Jesus. Okay, yes, let me go on. So what the word says, Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
Okay, Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back for a pure and spotless bride. Okay, so it's so cool that tonight we can be speaking about a church that will be holy ground. Okay, consecrated, set apart for God, for Jesus, for his purposes. Okay, so what I believe, and we were speaking about it a bit the other day also, I've been reading Revelation. And in Revelation, it talks about a lot about Jesus. Okay, so if you're sitting here tonight and you're like, sure, I really don't know Jesus. Don't only read the Gospels, which is amazing, but also read Revelation, because there you see who Jesus is. So magnificent. So incredible that you're like, yo, I really want to know this Jesus. Jesus is not that little baby in a manger. He's powerful. There is fire coming out of his eyes. When he talks, he speaks like, and it sounds like the roaring waters. Roaring waters, is that even right? Okay, great. Okay, so Jesus really is magnificent. He is so big, and he says he's coming back for a pure and spotless bride. He wants the church to be holy ground. So, Leona said the other day also, she says, we have to hear what is the Spirit saying to the churches. And when we read Revelation, guys, the first three chapters, Jesus is showing John, this is what I want you to write to the churches. Okay? So that was actually physical churches in that time. But for us in this day, God also wants to show us something. Because he says, listen, what is the Spirit saying to the churches? And it's so interesting. It's so interesting to read what is important to God, what is important to Jesus for us in a church. We must actually look at it and be like, yo, okay, we want to be like these churches, or we don't want to be like these churches. We want to be how Jesus wants us to be, okay? Because when Jesus comes back, I want to be like, we're a pure and spotless bride. Our desire was to see Jesus glorified, okay? And so we're quickly going to look at the few churches. The first one was in Ephesus, okay? So Revelation 2, verse 2 to 5, it says, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Actually, doesn't it go earlier than that? 2, verse 2. Maybe not? Okay, we'll go from there. Okay, so what it's saying, it's just telling the church how wonderful it is and it's working right. Yes, okay. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and have found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. And this story, when I read it the first time, I was like, yo, I've never read it like this. It says, you have done the right things. You hated evil. You know, so we can walk into the church and like, that actually looks like they're doing the right thing. But it says, this I have against you, that you have abandoned your first love. Meaning like Jesus is not the center anymore. Okay, it's not only about Jesus anymore. Okay, and when we turn to the last church that he's talking about, Laodicea, something like that, Revelations 3, verse 70 to 20, that, for you say I'm rich, I've prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are rich, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salt to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those who I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. And I believe it's a time where Jesus is standing at the church, at the body of Christ, and he's knocking. He's saying, I want to come in. I want to dine with you. Okay, I want to be the one that's the center here. I actually want to be with my church. It mustn't just be about church. It mustn't just be about what we can do right or wrong or how cool we can do this or that. Yes, that will come, and that's awesome. But the center must be Jesus. Okay, and Jesus is saying, I want to be part of this. I want to come in, open the door so that I can come in. Matthew 15, verse 7 to 8 says, you hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, the people honor me with their lips, but their hearts is far from me. And I believe God is calling the heart of the church back to Jesus. He's saying, we're not just going to talk about who God is. We're not just going to do things in his name, but we're going to love him. We're going to look to him. He's going to be our everything. Okay? So, what happened, and I told the story before, is I had this dream, and for some reason, I can't get it out of my head. It's a cool dream. What happened in this dream, I walked into a church, and in this church, it was a normal church. I didn't know the church or anything. There was many nations in the church, so it can be the Church of Christ or anything like that. Sitting in the dream, and then in the church, and then I heard something outside. So I walked outside, and when I got there, there was these demons standing outside the church. And I was looking at them, and I'm like, no, you have to go, okay? What are you doing here? And they were like, we have covenant with you, okay? And I was like, I break that covenant. Like, somehow, you know, angry at, how can you say I have covenant with you, okay? And when I broke it, they looked like surprised, like, no, you can't do that. And because they were surprised, I was surprised. I was like, oops, maybe I can't do that. And then I realized, no, I can do that. So I said, I break this covenant. Okay? And then I said, okay, so go. And they went. Okay? I went back into the church, and as I was standing in the church, I started speaking. I didn't plan or whatever, just like in my dream, I just started speaking. And I said, Jesus is not here. And the people started looking at me, and I said, who are you worshiping if Jesus is not here? And then I said, let's go to where Jesus is. And the people started getting up and walking to where Jesus is. And I believe God is saying, let's follow Jesus again. Okay? Let's take our eyes off all the other stuff. Let's break those covenants that we have with other things in this world. Okay? That we put above Jesus. What is this things that us as a church want more than what we want Jesus? What is the things that we have covenant with that we need to break? It can be anything. It can be anything. It's a stage where God is calling us back and say, no longer are you holding on to those things. Okay, no longer are you holding on to other things in this world. No longer are you putting other things above me. But Jesus is the center. He's the first. And if Jesus is there, it's holy ground. It's holy ground. And Jesus is saying, I'm knocking. I'm knocking. I so want to be part of this church. Okay, of the body of Christ. I am the head of the church. Okay, so if I am not there, I don't know about you, but the person without a head can't function. Okay, they are dead. We need the head. The church needs the head, Jesus Christ, to be the first. Okay, I'm getting excited. John 2 verse 28, I don't know if I put it on there. Yes. And now, little children, abide in me, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. So abide in him means to abide in Jesus. We want to abide in Jesus. The church must be planted in Jesus. Okay, so that when he comes, you know, we're not going to be like, oh, no, we actually didn't put Jesus first. You know, we don't want to be ashamed as a church when Jesus returns and be like, oh, we actually put our hope in other stuff. We actually trusted in other stuff. And, you know, that can be anything from pride to sexual sin, to whatever we were thinking of, to just feeling that we're righteous. But we are not righteous in ourselves. Okay? It's only through Jesus Christ. Okay? Jesus is saying, God is saying, Jesus must be first in the church. Okay? So what happens on this holy ground? Okay? So now, this holy ground, we know Jesus is there when we look at the story. So what happens then? And this is quite exciting. Exodus 3 verse 2 says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. I can just imagine Moses walking there, seeing this bush burning. Now, if I think of God, I think you must get that picture out of your head. I don't think it was a little bush just burning there, you know? I don't think it was like that. I think it was a massive bush. But what happened is this bush is burning. I mean, there's a fire going on there, but the bush itself is not consumed. Okay, it almost reminds me of those guys in the fire, and nothing happened to them. And the angel of the Lord was also there. Okay, but now this bush is burning and it's not consumed. And Moses is like, what is happening here? I have to check this out. This is not normal. This is supernatural. Something else is happening there. I am actually drawn to what is happening here. If it was just burning, I'm sure he was like, oh yeah, another day in wilderness and go on. Okay, but because this bush was not consumed, he was like, I need to go closer. I need to see what is happening here. Okay, so where there's holy ground, the glory of God is there. The glory of God is seen. Okay? And I believe that is what God wants to do in the church. His glory must be seen. Okay? People need to see that, wow, this God is glorious because he's in the midst of these people. Things are happening that it's not normal. Okay? People coming in, they are sick. They are abandoned. They are really alone. They are broken, and they get healed, they get restored. Things happen in the church and God's glory is seen. I'm telling you, God wants to make his glory seen, okay? And even us here worshiping, wherever the body of Christ, the church, is worshiping Jesus, people will be drawn to that glory of God. We were in Pretoria in the church, also Shofar. Literally, our church was probably as big as this. Yes. So this was our church when we started. So I would be preaching to you, you know, no one else. We were in this little moonbox theater. Michelle, you would love it. Okay. The first time I walked in there, yes, it was Halloween. Okay. So they will like make up the place like Halloween style. Okay. So they invited me to this church. I step into this church and it's just like witches flying and... And I'm like, oh, you mad? I better get out of this church. This is not right. But anyways, I later found out, no, it's a normal church. It's just the decorating of the moonbox theater where we were. Okay? Anyways, what was I doing? Okay. So what happened in this place is that we were just worshiping God. Okay, really worshiping God. Now you must know it was about 15 people of us, you know, just standing there. And a friend of mine from Rwanda, we became very good friends later on, but he walked in the street and he heard something and he was like, I need to get there. I need to go. I don't know what's happening there. He didn't know the Lord at all. Okay, so he was like, I need to get there. And he actually came into the church and got saved that same day. Okay, and I believe God is going to come and draw people more and more and more as we worship Jesus as his first place, as the church becomes holy ground and we see the glory of God in our midst, the supernatural, okay? Great, amen. But this fire also presents, when we look at it, it says to us that God is self-sufficient. Okay, it talks about the character of God. God is self-sufficient, he's self-existent, he's eternal, he's unchanging. Okay, this fire is burning, but that bush is standing there. Okay, God doesn't change. He's the same today and forever. Okay, what's the other thing that happens on holy ground? And this to me is so exciting. Okay, where Jesus is, where his glory is, we're not just going to have church and sing and all of that all day long. Where the holy ground is, there's a calling. Okay? There's a calling on the church today. There's a calling on the church today as there was like ever before because Jesus is coming soon. Okay? Jesus is coming soon and he's saying, I'm calling you. Let's read it. Exodus 3 verse 4. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see the great sight. Why the bush is not burned? When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. God was calling Moses by name. He could have said, my child, come closer. Or my servant, come closer. But he said, Moses, Moses, come. And Moses said, here I am. And I believe God is doing that to us as a church today, saying, let's say, Shofar Rondebosch. Shofar Rondebosch, come. And we must say, here we are, Lord. Here we are. We want to be set apart for your glory, for your purposes. We want to have that calling to see your name, you know, being glorified all over. We want to be the hands and the feet of Jesus on this earth. We want to be those people. Yes, we don't just want to have church. We want to be a church that stands up for Jesus, who proclaims the name of the Lord, who goes out, who says, Jesus, this Jesus is coming soon. Okay, so there's a calling today on the church. Very important to notice about this calling is in verse 5. Then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And what stood out for me here is that he said, wait, Moses. Don't come near. Okay? So Moses already, like, just coming to look, but now he's saying, don't come near. Why not? Because the place that you are standing on is holy ground. Take off your sandals. Okay? Now, Raina was explaining last week. He said, if there's a candle and it's burning, okay, and a moth comes, if that moth comes into the flame, what's going to happen? It's going to... and die, okay? Not a very pretty sight, okay? But if it's just like around it, it's fine, okay? But it cannot go into the flame. Just like us, we cannot go so close to God because he is just so holy. He's a consuming fire, and we actually will not make it. And we as a church need to know, for us to walk on our calling, we need to realize who this holy God is. That we cannot come and say, hey, brother, how you doing? That is not my God. My God is holy. If I come to him, I come in reference about who my God is, saying, Lord, thank you that I can come to you. Thank you that I can come to you through the blood of Jesus. And Lord, I'm not going to come and try and be your equal. I'm not going to be, hey, bro, my God, how are you doing? Okay? That's not going to be my attitude towards God because God is big. He loves me, and he wants to have intimacy with me, but I can never be the creator. God is the creator. I can never be the potter. I'm the clay. And believe me, it's safe to be the clay and not try and be the potter. Okay? God is good. He's big. And we cannot come that close. He's actually saying to Moses, take off your shoes. For the ground that you are standing on is holy. It's holy. Come in humility and reference to who this God is. Yo, imagine us as a church can come and say, Lord, we're coming to you in humility today. Saying, Lord, there's nothing like you. When we pray, I always say, when we start to pray, we first exalt God so that we can get ourselves out of the picture. Say, Lord, you are good, you are big, you are above everything. Nothing about me, it's about you, Lord. And I think we must end off the prayers like that also. Just to know that there's no one like Jesus. There's no one like God. And I must say, I learned something precious from my grandparents, my dad's grandparents. I used to stay by them in holidays. And that time, I still walked in my sleep. Which, yeah, it was actually a blessing because I couldn't go and visit any friends. My mom said, no, you walk in your sleep, you stay at home. So good. But what happened is my grandma didn't want me to walk around, you know, in my sleep at night. They had quite a big house. So she would let me sleep in their room on a little bed. And she'll make me so tight with the blankets that I actually couldn't move, you know, so that I won't walk around at night. But it was so good for me. I think, thank you, Lord, that I could sleep, walk in my sleep, because then I got to see what my grandparents did. I was in their room when they went to bed at night. I was there when they woke up in the mornings. And what I saw was so precious for me, because what they did in the evenings, before they go to bed, they'll take off their shoes. They had quite a high bed, and they'll kneel, one on the side, one on the other side, and they'll pray. Every morning and every night, they were doing that. And there's nothing religious about that. That's coming in holy reference of who our God is. And I must say, I never heard them speaking anything like against God. Like, oh, can God just do something? I never saw that. There was always a holy fear about who my God is. The holiness of God. And I so long for us to also be at that place. It's not just like, let's do this. And I'm also guilty of this. I'm like, your God must just speak about this sermon because I don't know. Instead of, your Lord, I'm waiting. Can't wait to hear what you're going to say about this, Lord, because this is your word, not mine, nothing to do with me. Okay, let's be those grandparents who pray every morning and every night, kneeling before God. I must just say, and then they read the Bible out loud to each other every morning, every night. How cool is that? Good, so we're talking about holy ground. And what we said is when Moses got to this ground, there was nothing special about this ground. You agree? We said it was rocks, it was dirt, there was nothing special. But then Jesus was there and it became holy ground. And God's glory was seen and there was a calling because God's word was spoken. Okay? That's the other thing. We need to hold on to God's word because when God's word is spoken, things can actually happen. Okay? We need to read the word, we need to sit in the word. And Esther will say, amen. So what is so cool for me about this is that God takes what is really insignificant. I hear music. Is it outside? It's not angels singing. Okay. So God takes the things that are really insignificant. Okay, that dirt, that rocks, you know, that abandoned place, Horeb. And he comes, and because Jesus is there, what happens? It's holy ground. God comes and takes what is insignificant in this world, and he makes it significant. He takes what is abandoned, and he said, come, you are mine. He takes what is unimportant, and he says, this is important, because Jesus is here. My glory is seen here, my word is spoken, and there's a calling on you, and I'm telling you that today, if you're here, And the church might be feeling insignificant, but I'm telling you, if God is there, if Jesus is there, the church is significant. And Jesus will use the church, okay, in this world, in this time, okay, because Jesus is coming back. And it's so cool for me because Because God showed it to us. He says, this is what I do. I take things of this world that no one thinks anyone will get anywhere. You know, and I say, it's not about that. It's not about the car you drive. Okay? It's not about the degree you have. Although it's important and God works through that. But it's not about that. It's not about that. I can take anyone and everyone, even me that came out of the guru, that cannot speak English, has to speak English to you. Okay? God can use anyone and everyone, and he takes the things that is insignificant and he makes it significant.
Amen.
Okay? Good. How do we know that? Because we see it in Jesus' life. Where was Jesus born? In Bethlehem. What does the word say about Bethlehem? But you, O Bethlehem, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah. Like, you're not significant at all. Okay? Where did Jesus grow up? In Nazareth. Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth, they said. That's where Jesus grew up. Where did Jesus do his ministry? In Galilee. Okay? With the fishermen. Go to the West Coast, you see how fishermen looks. It's not necessarily the best people. It was not amongst the rulers of the day. Jesus didn't grow up in the, you know, among the rulers in Jerusalem or wherever. I don't know what's the famous places in Israel. Or, you know, New York or Paris. Okay? He was there and he was in Galilee. And then we can go on and we say, where did Jesus die? How did he die? Okay? God takes the things that is insignificant in this world. You might think that the church is nothing, but God is saying, you're everything to me. And I will let you rise up because I am in the midst of you. And my glory will be seen. And my will be done in my church. And it's so cool for me. Holy ground will be in the church. I'd like pray like every church in Cape Town will experience holy ground. Because it's not about us. It's about the lost coming back to Jesus. Seeing the glory. We have so many people that don't know God. That is living in hurt and in pain. And they don't know truth. They don't know that hope. Which is only in Jesus. And we want the church to be a beacon of light. He says, be that city on a hill so that you shine, so that the people will be drawn to me, so that they will come in. But not only do we want holy ground in the church, although that's what I'm speaking about tonight, and I believe is the message for us. But holy ground can be in your business. Okay? Holy ground can be in your home. Holy ground can be in your school. Holy ground can be in your family, where you seek Jesus first. Dallas Willard, I just quickly wrote this. I not wrote this book. Imagine that. I read his book, like a chapter, the other day, and he spoke about being a disciple of Jesus. And I've told you this many times, that to be a disciple of Jesus, you actually have to spend time with Jesus. And he said, but how do we fall in love with God more, with Jesus more? How do we get to know Jesus more? And he said two simple things, through worship and study. Now the student's like, no, wait, no study for me. Okay, but really studying who Jesus is. It's not just revelation and show pictures and all of that, although I believe in that, and the Holy Spirit does show us that. But at a stage, we must be like, I want to know Jesus. And how am I going to get to know Jesus? Spending time with him, but also seeing who does the scripture says he is? What does the word say about Jesus? And Dallas Willard takes it a step further. He says you must actually take a week out and just spend time in the Gospels, just reading about who Jesus is. Because how else are you going to do that? I would love to do that. I must actually plan something like that. But really, study and worship Jesus. Jesus wants to be in our homes, the holy ground, in our homes, in our communities, in our nation. But more than that, God wants the holy ground to be in you. You are holy ground. He wants you to be the holy ground. Why? Because he wants Jesus to be in your life. Why? Because Jesus says, I came to seek and save the lost. I want to take center stage in your life? What are the things keeping you from Jesus being the center stage in your life today? We spoke about my dream. Those things that we have to break covenant with. There are things in our lives that we have to break covenant with. And I'm telling you, God is doing it. He's busy purifying his church. But we have to take that step and say, I no longer want these things in my life. I want Jesus. We've been doing a deliverance and stuff here in church. And personal healing, is that what you call it? Anyways. And what I've been seeing is incredible. As soon as someone's like, I'm tired of this, I don't want it, it just goes. When you come and like, oh, I want deliverance. No. Yes, there's things that is in your generation and God will set you free from them. But you must be at that place like, I want more of Jesus in my life. I'm tired of these other things. I'm tired of this jealousy. I'm tired of the sexual sin. I'm tired of these thoughts in my head. I'm tired of this competition, whatever it is. Can't think about many things now. But whatever's in your life that you're putting more into, what is those things that you have covenant with outside? But Jesus is saying, enough. That's enough. Get away from those things. Come to me. I'm knocking. I say, I want to be number one in your life. Why? Because there the glory of God will be seen. Because I love you. Because I have a special plan with you. I'm calling you. Come to me. Come to me. Come to me. Come to me. Jesus is saying, come to me. I have so much for you. Things that you will never imagine or know. Things that you never can even think about. I have for you. My children and my church. Return to me. God takes nobodies and transforms them into somebodies. He doesn't look at your ability. He looks at your availability. And I'm feeling there's people here in this church tonight thinking, I'm nothing. I will never amount to anything. But I'm telling you today, God has a special purpose for you. And he's calling you tonight. He's saying to you, come to me. He's saying, come to me. Lay down all the other things. Don't worry about that. We will sort it out when you get there. But come to me. Run to me, actually. Run to me. I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you. I can't wait to share with you what I have for you. Good. Let's all close our eyes.
God is very real, and God is in this place. And the Lord's heart for us is not to hurt us or to do whatever thing that will be very much difficult for us to do. But God's heart for us is to experience that same thing that Moses experienced. But you know, it all started when just Moses had one look on that burning bush. The Bible says when the Lord saw that Moses looked, then God spoke to him. And that was the very place where he saw the glory of God, the calling happened. For some of you, you've been maybe coming to church many times. You've been maybe in church all your life, maybe before even attending this church. But the one of the reasons why you don't even know what's your calling, just because you haven't looked at this burning bush. And the Lord is calling you to a place where he wants you to know what's your calling? For some of you, you don't really know what's the calling on your life. And the Lord is saying, the key for you to know what's your calling on your life, you've got to look at me first. You have to see my glory. It is in this place where my glory is that you are going to know what's your calling. Isaiah, when he saw the glory of God, that was in that very environment where God said, who will go for us? That was the right place where God sent him, where God commissioned him, where God purified him, where the Lord cleansed him. And if you are here, you don't really know what's your calling. What's the calling of God in your life? And you've been in church many times, but you don't even know how you do you fit in the body of Christ. And you really sense it's probably because you haven't seen, you haven't looked at this burning bush. You haven't seen the glory of God. And in this afternoon, this evening, you want to say, Lord, show me your glory. I want to see you. Because there is no way, I would know where am I going if I haven't seen you clearly. If that's you, I just want to encourage you to put your hands up. And we're going to pray that God will reveal his glory in your life. Moses, after seeing so much things, he came to God and said to God, show me your glory. If that's your prayer this evening, I just want you to put your hand, to raise your hand up. We are going to pray for you. We're going to trust God that God will come and show you his glory. And the second thing that I'm going to ask you, if you are here, you feel like Horeb, you feel like you are forsaken, you feel like abandoned, sometimes you feel like useless. Maybe because of circumstance, maybe you grew up in an environment where people never spoke life over you. And tonight you want to hear the sound of the Father speaking life over you. I want to encourage you to put your hands up. Because God is very much committed to speak life over you and to release his glory to shine over you. I want to encourage you to put your hands up, and we are going to pray for that. Moses, all he had to do, he just had to look, and God spoke. And Miriam spoke again about covenant. If you are here, there are certain things that you are noticing in your life. And you don't even know what is the roots of these things. Or if there are issues, there are certain things in your life that you've made covenant with that are not godly. In such a way that you are experiencing certain things, or you are maybe going through certain pain just because of certain covenant that you made, either consciously or unconsciously. It probably may be a pattern in your family where you are seeing certain things that do not reflect the glory of God. And today you want to say, I want to break this covenant. You want to bring your heart to God to say, Lord, I want to be free from any covenant which is not of you. I just want to encourage you to put your hand up. And we're going to pray. We're going to trust God for freedom. And the very last thing is, if you are here, you don't really feel like you've given your life to Christ. You don't really feel like there is that relationship with God. You know, Moses experienced that place as a holy ground because God was there. You know, there is no way we can become this holy ground unless God is here, unless God takes place in our hearts. And the scripture we read, it says, I'm knocking. If anyone hears my voice, I will enter in and I will have supper with him. And tonight God is saying, here I am. I am here in this place and I am very much committed to have a relationship with you. But if you're here, your relationship with God, it's still like a theory. It's not something real. It's not something that you are experiencing. It's not something that you can testify of. It's not something you can't hear God's voice. God seems to be a theory, something that you've heard about, that you always hear about when you come to church. And tonight you want to make a decision to be real with God. Tonight you want to make a decision to be real with God in such a way now that you would say, I met the Lord. He spoke to me. I can hear his voice. this is what he has told me during this week. This is what he has told me for this year. This is what God is saying for UCT. This is what God is saying over my family. But all of that starts when your heart has become one with Christ. It all happens when the Lord is there. And if that's you, just want to encourage you to put your hand up.
I just quickly want to share a testimony. We were a couple of people living with Marichan this weekend, so she preached the sermon to us this morning. And I know that you can have covenants with a lot of different things. You can have covenant with your family. If your family dictates your life and tells you what to do, when to do it, but they don't allow Jesus to, or an academic institution. And I was thinking, oh, I'm sorted. I don't have to break covenant with anything because none of those things are influencing my life. And we started praying, and the next moment the Lord reminded me of something that I never tell people, but when I was very young, at the ages of 14, 18, and 21, somebody very significant in my life took time out to actually tell me that I'm always going to be a failure, that I'll never succeed, and that I'm probably the worst thing that's ever happened, and they don't actually want to see me again. It was somebody very significant in my life, and that really shaped me. And what I haven't realized is that over the past 16 years, every time something goes wrong, I hear those voices again, and I remind myself that I just have to remember this is true. And it's very subconscious, because I've done a lot of deliverance, and I've done a lot of forgiving of the people. And the Lord said to me, I want you to break covenant with the lies that's been spoken over that you still agree with. And I just want to say, I feel there are some people here, lies have been spoken over you, and you are agreeing with the words. You've got covenant with that rather than covenant with the reality and the truth of Jesus Christ, that he has spoken over you, and whatever it may be. So if there's anybody like that, you can also come forward for prayer.
So I encourage you, those that put their hands, to come forward. One of the reality of covenant is that if you've got a covenant with anything, that means that very thing has got the right to function in your life. You know, it's like when countries make covenants, that means, I remember there was a time where Congo had a covenant with Zimbabwe. When there was a war in Congo, Zimbabwe sent the army to come and fight in the country. So in other words, when you've got a covenant with, you know, the Bible speaks about the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. When there is a covenant, when in your life with the things that are of the kingdom of darkness, that gives the right to the kingdom of darkness to have an influence on you. That's why salvation is described as a translation from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And I remember last evening, one of my sisters was playing a song, secular song. I literally felt, the moment I heard that sound, we don't really play secular music at my place. But then when she played that music, I was very surprised that, but then I actually felt like, you know, this song, there is something funny with this song. It's a love song. I'm not going to mention the artist, but then last night I saw funny stuff, you know, and the Lord was just speaking to me that was an open door, you know, but I didn't want to judge her. I didn't want to look like this guy that wants to judge her. But some of us, what gave the opportunity to function in our lives, it's some of the songs that we've heard. Because every sound that you hear shapes you. It has an influence on you. And music, the funny thing with music is that whether you believe in it, you can just record it in your brain. I'm like that. When I get into taxis, when they play a song, it doesn't matter, Rihanna or whoever, it will stuck in my head. You know, that's the danger of music. But those sounds, some of those sounds are submitted to the kingdom of darkness. And these things have an influence on us in terms of the way we think, the way we behave. And if there are certain things that you notice in your life, certain fruits that do not reflect the kingdom of God, just want to encourage you. It can be destruction. It can be confusion. It can be whatever. Just come. We will pray and trust God that you will start bearing the fruit of the kingdom of light. And this is the heart of God for us. The heart of God is that we may bear the fruit. Jesus said, if you abide in me, Abiding is not a visit. Abiding speaks about dwelling. You know, if you dwell in me, then you will bear much fruit. So we're going to pray. We're going to trust God that God will come and give us that ability to dwell in him, to abide in him, so that we may bear much fruit.